Good morning. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church, everybody. We all please stand as we bring a sacrifice of praise. Talking to Pastor Larry here this morning, the first thing we always want to do when we walk into church is keep our eyes and our focus on God, because we are here to praise and honor our Lord this morning, aren't we? Amen. We all bow your heads. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that we can come here and worship you in spirit and in truth, God. Lord, I pray as we lift our voices to you, God, that we're not just singing songs, Lord, that we are singing praises unto our holy God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We want to honor your name and honor you in this earth with our voices, Lord. And Lord, we're also here this morning to hear from you, to hear your word that you have for us this morning, God. Stir our hearts, open our spirits for that word to pour into us, God, and continuously change us every day into more like what you want us to be. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. The past two Sundays, I told you about the disaster relief and prayer ministries of the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association. Today, I'm going to tell you about the other ministries of the association. The association is headed by the Director of Missions, Chuck Morrow, and the Associational Administrator, Jonathan Matthews. The association offers evangelism training and resources through its website, www.uovba.org, and through in-person training in office in Moundsville. The website videos are free to access, and two books on evangelism are free to order. The association supports a transformed youth ministry and Indian Creek Christian School. There's also missions and evangelism ministry, which include various mission projects, the Kentucky Race Ministry, and the Red Line Race Ministry at Tyler County Motor Speedway. This year, the Summer Legacy Offering honors the ministry of John I. Sneddon, who was the first director of missions from 1960 to 1967. By giving to the Summer Legacy Offering, you help support these associational ministries. Open Door's goal for this offering is $2,000, and today, if I did my math correctly. Today's the last day we'll take up an offering, and today, so far, we have $1,620.44. If you would like to give, please write Legacy on your envelope, which can be found in the back of the pew in front of you. And you may also give to the Summer Legacy Offering through the giving link on the church website by clicking the Add Donation link. Thank you for giving. Please continue to pray for the association and for the 21 churches it serves. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate that. And I have an announcement to be made, a reminder that Willie Corder's graduation party and graduation ceremony will be following today's services from 1 to 3. And Tracy wanted me to remind you of that. And she asked for me to preach a long sermon would be appreciated.
And that would be an honor.
Is that what that says?
That's what it says.
A long
that was requested by Willie, I think.
Sermon would be appreciated. Where's Tracy? I hope I don't disappoint. I'm probably going to disappoint you today. Okay.
All right, you all please stand as we continue with worship this morning.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior's ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who calls me here below, will be
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the power that you have, that you can give us life over death, and that eternal life, and a place of glory, an unimaginable place that we try to describe with words. But how can we even begin to describe a place with no curse, a place with no sin, a place where you dwell in the midst of your people forevermore? What a wonderful place it is. What a wonderful name it is. We praise you. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you are due. Lord, we pray that this worship was glorifying to you. We pray that you received it from hearts who were cleansed, Father, by your blood, that you would receive this from your church as an offering, a praise offering, and that it was pleasing to you. Now, Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word, to the hearing of your word, Lord, we pray that you open our minds and our ears. Lord, I'm going to pray about a subject today, or preach about a subject today that many people want and desire in their life, and sometimes they just don't know how to get it. But Lord, you tell us very clearly how to get it. We all want it, but Lord, there's only one way to have it. So Lord, I pray that if what I say is not going to be true, that you silence my lips, refuse to let me speak, but you would rise up the one to speak in your place today. Why? For it's your glory and your honor that we are here. We're here to worship you. We're not here to worship us. We're here to worship you. So Lord, we just lift you up on high. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Uh-oh. Can I hang out there? There you go. Thanks. You're a good-looking crowd this morning. They're so smiling. Look, and let me show you. They're all smiling. Look at this side. Is the temperature colder over there than it is over here? Listen, I had to get John to get me I'm sweating. So, Lord, have mercy. You guys stand up here. You guys stand up here. Here, Dawn, you preach. You cold anymore? Oh, my. Well, get your Bibles there and get them open to the book of Galatians. If you have your Bible, say, I got them. Amen. You don't want to come to church without your Bible. You want to have the Word with you. I know we put it up on the screen and everything, but there's nothing but like marking your Bible and following in your own Bible, all right? So Galatians chapter 5, you can get there. We're going to go to Psalm 16 after that, a couple other places, but you can read it off the wall for that, all right? There is a psychological disorder known as anhedonia. I think that's right. It's defined as an inability to experience joy. Anhedonia is often associated with depression, and that is the inability to experience joy. But you think about that for a second. There's a diagnosis, a physiological disorder that is diagnosed, is associated with depression. It is the inability to experience joy. Now let's compare that with what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, verse 11, where he says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Talking about a subject today that everybody wants in their life. Amen? Amen. We all want to be joyful people. We all want to have joy in our life. We want our life to be defined as we have a joyful life, right? Now, but there's a world of difference in what this diagnosis is and then what he tells us here in Scripture. There's a world of difference in those two things right there, right? Because man says joy is a mental condition, but Jesus says it's a spiritual condition. All right? Man says it's a mental condition, but Jesus says it's a spiritual condition. Look what he says: "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," meaning the Lord, "my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." Jesus says real joy comes from him. Amen. That his joy in you is a fruit of his Spirit, which leads me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You can go there for a moment, and then I'm going to take you to Psalms, right? Now remember, Paul was talking to a church that's divided here in Galatia. If you're just coming in here and you're hearing this for the first time, I'm in a series on the fruit of the Spirit. So if you want to go back online and listen to those, you can. But Paul is talking to a church that's divided here in Galatia. There is a deep division in the church. There were those that were on this side, the legalists, who were basically holding to rules and regulations, and they did that as a proof that they were spiritual. Look at me, look at all these rituals I hold, look at all these rules and things that I do, look at all these, how disciplined I am. And that's what they thought would make them religious, right? And then on the other side, you've got these libertarians who were using their freedom in Jesus Christ in order to live a lifestyle that was outside of God's will. In other words, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want to do. Well, unfortunately, most churches and most professing Christians have not learned from Paul's teaching here in Galatians. Because most churches, including this one at times, still struggle with these same issues still today. So Paul comes and he says this, both of you are wrong. He says, neither one of you are right. You're both on the wrong side. And if you want to see the real proof of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life, in other words, you want to know that that Jesus Christ is dwelling inside of you, His Spirit is in you, then you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now watch, it's not fruits. It's fruit. It's one. Okay, so you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which we will find in Galatians, what? Chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And just wanted to say that I heard last week's sermon, and that was a fantastic sermon on love and the topic and how he displayed that. So I just want to point that out. So, well, up to this point, we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, love, right? And this morning, we're going to look at joy, the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Now, I've got to give you a little bit of definition here because we really don't understand the difference between joy and happiness. We get confused in that sometimes. Sometimes we get the wires crossed, per se. So if you get your Bibles ready, I'm going to take you to Psalm 16 in just a moment, but I want to give you some differences now on joy and happiness. What is the difference there? Because there's a vast difference in what the world doesn't understand, and the world does not understand the difference. In fact, most Christians don't understand the difference. I can tell you already, I've talked to many people in the life of my ministry, they don't understand the difference between happiness and joy. Now, let me give you a couple of things about happiness. Happiness is based on moods. Any of you guys agree? Happiness is based on moods. It depends on what mood you're in. That determines whether you are happy or not happy, right? Amen? Right? And that is biochemically related because if I feed you a bunch of chocolate, I can, yeah, see, I see your smiles already, right? I heard, yeah. If I feed you a bunch of chocolate, I can send you out of here happy. I can give you a happy pill and send you out of here happy, all right? It's biochemical, and it would do something to the biochemical, physical makeup of your body, and I can control your happiness that way. Well, joy is not that way. Joy is not biochemical, it is spiritual. Okay? There's a difference there. There's a big difference there. Joy is produced by walking with the Holy Spirit. It is produced by God in your life. Now, the second thing is this. Happiness is situational. That is, depending on the situation, whether I'm happy or not, right? You know, I can be in a certain situation and I'm happy. You know, somebody's going to take me out to lunch today, and I'm happy because I don't have to pay for it. All right? You see, that is situational. However, if I get there and then they don't pick up the check, then my situation has changed, and my happiness is gone. Right? But understand, joy is not like that. Joy is not situational. What? Here's the third thing. The third thing is this. Happiness is also externally stimulated. That is, external things stimulate me and make me happy. For instance, if I dangle the keys of a brand new car in front of you, I got this brand new car, and I got to dangle these keys in front of you and say, it's waiting for you outside the doors right there. It's all yours. It's free. It's all paid for. It's right outside the doors. Oh, and by the way, I got a lifetime free gas card for you to go with it. You'd be happy, right? Until somebody turned the corner and smashed into it, and then you can't find the gas card anymore, right? It comes up missing. Now your happiness would all be gone again, right? So you see, the very nature of happiness is that it is short-lived. It doesn't last very long. But the world has no true concept of joy. Because God says this, real joy, genuine joy can only be experienced by believers. That's very important. God says real joy, genuine joy, can only be experienced by believers, those who know and trust in Him. So those who are lost cannot experience what real joy is about. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 16, because here is a situation where nobody is happy. We're going to go to a situation where nobody is happy. David should not be happy. Why? Because his situation is horrible. But now listen, now watch, now listen. All through this psalm, he is going to talk to you about joy that comes because of his confidence and commitment to the Lord. Because if you don't get anything else, write this down. All right? If you don't get anything, write this down. True joy comes when you put your trust in an eternal source who supplies your internal resources. True joy comes when you put your trust in an eternal source who supplies your internal resources. Now, if you got that, but that's where real joy comes from, so we can actually go home. It comes when you put your confidence. It comes when you put your trust. It comes when you put your hope. It comes when you put your faith in an eternal source who supplies your internal resources, regardless of your external situation. Now, some of us have been through some pretty serious external situations. But if your confidence, your faith and your trust is in the Lord, He says, I can still produce joy in the midst of that. And that's what we're going to look at today. Regardless of your external stimulation, listen, according to Scripture, that doesn't have to be there in order for you to experience joy. Now, as we look at Psalm 16, a man by the name of David is going to show this very thing to us. Because David, as he writes this psalm at this time of his life, he's a fugitive who's on the run, right? He's on the run. Now, this psalm is actually a psalm of lament, or a psalm of mourning, or a psalm of sorrows, okay? So David's on the run. He's being chased. So David is on the run, but he's also going to talk to you about joy in the midst of all of this. They're trying to come after him to kill him, but he's also going to talk to you about joy in the midst of this unbelievable situation. Now here it is. First of all, I want you to see, number one, this is what I want you to see. This is the vital point in this whole entire sermon. Joy comes when you place your confidence in a sovereign God. Joy comes when you place your confidence in a sovereign God. Now, I want to show you where David gets that. Begin reading with me right there in beginning in verse 1. Look what it says. Preserve me, O God. Now, there is that word there, preserve. It means to cover. It means to protect. It means to guard me. It means to guide me. Preserve me, O God. Cover me, O God. Protect me, O God. Guard me, O God. Guide me, O God. For in you I put my trust. Verse 2, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Now let me show you what David is doing right here. This is really pretty cool. You want a little Bible lesson? This is really a cool lesson right here. David is doing that right here just for the first, in these first couple of verses. He comes and he speaks of his commitment. I don't know if you get that out of these verses, but that's actually what he's doing. He speaks of his commitment. Some call this psalm a call of deliverance, but I'm going to call it a psalm of confidence, all right? Because David, right off the bat, in the very first verse, is saying this. He's saying, my confidence is in God. Now, I could look at you and say, is your confidence in God this morning? And you all say, mm-hmm, amen, right? But there's a fruit that will be displayed in you if your confidence is in God. Watch. He's saying, my confidence is in God, and he wants you to understand this because he calls God by three different nouns right there. There are three different proper nouns here in verse 1 and verse 2. There's three different nouns there for God in those two verses. So the first one is this. Look in verse 1. And look at verse 1. You see God. The first one is God. That is El or Elohim. It's the word, the noun that you read back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim, creator God. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now, Elohim is the plural form of God, and it's the oldest name of God known among man. All right? It is the name that means you are the powerful, creative God. You are the God of might. You are the God of strength. You are the God who spoke and the universes, plural, universes sprang into existence. What didn't exist by the word of your mouth, they now exist. Well, that's what David's doing. He's praying and he's saying, this is where my confidence is. This is in whom my confidence is placed, is this God. It is him. It is in that God who created all, that powerful, mighty God. That is who my confidence is. And then he goes on as if you don't understand it, right? We don't get it because we're human. We're a little bit slow, right? And so as if you don't understand it, he says, let me explain it just a little bit further. So go down to verse 2. Oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord. Now, you just read that normally, and you just pass right over that, and you think, oh, okay, Lord, all right. But listen, you got to pay attention to some of the small details to get some of the bigger pictures here. You see that it says it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now, that will depend on the version, not the translation. But the version you use, in the New King James, the NIV, and the ESV, it is all capitals. Because the name of God there is Yahweh. We've all heard that, right? Yahweh. We have added the vowels, right? Because in the original Hebrew, there were no vowels. It was actually spelled YHWH. But we added the vowels, Yahweh. It is the name that God gave to describe himself to Moses at Sinai when he said, I am, right? I am that I am. He explained who I am that I am. It's Yahweh. It is the most holy name for God in the Old Testament. It's the most reverent name. It's the most holy name. It is the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. And then Yahweh expresses the absolute faithfulness of God. The absolute faithfulness that if God tells you he's going to do something, you can take it to the bank. All right. Amen. How many believe that because you trust and believe in Jesus Christ that you were saved? Why do you trust that? Because he told you that you were. You see that there? It's the most holy name of God, right? It expresses his absolute faithfulness of God. And if you've missed that, David comes back with yet a third name. Look, go back to verse 1, right? Go back there to verse 1. It says, preserve me, O God, Elohim, right? Preserve me, O God, Elohim, creator, mighty God. For in you I put my trust, O my soul, you have said to the Lord Yahweh, right, the faithful God, Yahweh, you are my Lord. Now, There's the third reference to God. You are my Lord. Now pay attention to that again. Starts out capital L, lowercase o, lowercase r, lowercase d. Now that is the name Adonai. Adonai, that is the name that God gave to describe himself to Abraham. When Abraham went to talk to God, he called him Adonai, meaning master. Now, you can look at that verse now, you can read that verse in a whole different light, right? Preserve me, O God, creator of all that exists, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, Yahweh, the one who is faithful to do what he says he's going to do, you are my Lord. You are my master. So what David is doing right here is, this is what he's doing. He's saying, I want you to understand, that's where my confidence is. That's where my confidence, that's where my faith is. This is my God. This is who I chase after. Somebody chasing me, but this is who I chase after. This is who my confidence is in. I'm asking this God to preserve me. I'm asking this God to preserve me. My confidence is in the mighty God who has mediated a covenant for me, and he is my master. Now, that's what he said in those three names of God. He said, I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to misunderstand this. I want you to know who I'm talking about. I don't want there to be any mistake here. I want you to know who I'm talking about. I'm putting my confidence in that God. He is my eternal source who supplies my internal resources for my life. Now, folks, that's where my joy comes from. Not in the things and situations of this world. I mean, you can look around and you can not find a lot of joy in this world right now, right? Listen, this is the same God that I find my joy from. Joy comes into your life, your being, when your confidence is in God. Let me repeat this again. Your joy comes into your life, into your being, when your confidence is in God. Not in the things of the world. God, the mighty creator. God, the most holy, faithful God. And God, our master. David says this God is the only true source of real, enduring joy. Now look at what he says next there in verse 2. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. David is saying, look, I don't want you to mistake any of this. I don't want you to get off track here. I don't want you to mistake any of this. I, David, personally am putting my confidence, my faith, my trust, my hope in God, and I have no good in life apart from him. That's what he's saying. And that is where all the rest of this is going to flow out of, is out of this right here. That's where everything else beyond this is going to flow out of. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, until the end of the psalm, all of this talks about joy. And when he comes to the very end of this, all the way at the bottom, David says this, and watch, in verse 11, all the way down to verse 11, look what he says. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of... Where does joy come from, folks? If I had to look at that, where does joy come from? The presence of God. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now that fullness, it's like me filling a pitcher. I should have done that, right? It took a pitcher and just, when it got full, just kept pouring and pouring. It just overflows. David said, in your presence is fullness of joy. Now here we are at the end of the psalm, and you don't have to guess who David is referring to because he's already told you in verse 1 and verse 2, right? There's no guessing here. It is this God, the mighty covenant-making God, faithful God. This faithful God is my master, and I have no good in life apart from him. Do you hear that? He's saying, God, everything good in my life has come from you. Everything good in my life has come from you. Everything good in life has come from you. Lord, have mercy. You're all dead. Everything good in my life has come from him. I could start listing all the bad things in my life. But let me tell you, when I start listing all the good things in my life, they're endless. They are endless. Everything good in my life has come from you. And my joy is full because of your presence in my life. I'll contrast this in verse 4. Contrast this. Look at what he does. He shifts now in verse 4, and he's going to compare those who have left the Lord. Look what he says. Those who have left the Lord, look what he says. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Notice little g, false gods, right? Those who have hastened after false gods. Now, the word there is bartered. Anybody here ever barter? I know you have. Barter, right? In the King James, it is hasten or swift and hurried. It means both of those. He's saying this. There are those who have bartered God away. And they've done it in a hurry. They've been swift to do it. They've sold him out. They've bartered God away. There are those who have hastened, those who are swift and hurry to get away from God to another God. That's the whole concept here. That's the idea here. And David says those people will have sorrow, and they do that because they think they're going to have happiness. They're chasing after this or that or this thing or another because they think that this thing is going to give them happiness. They leave God, they abandon God for something else, think that's where happiness is going to be. They hasten, they hurry to get away from God. In fact, you know what it means? It actually means, if you go study this, it actually means to become an expert at this. To be skillful at leaving God. And we sit here and we think, what? How in the world? Leave God for another God, small g? Now watch, you got to be important there. That small g is important. Leaving God, creator God, big G God, right? For a little g God? They leave this God for that God, and that God for this God, and this God for that God, and that God for this God? It's kind of like a pinball machine, like a ball in a pinball machine. They're just... Now listen closely. Professing Christians do it all the time. Yeah, they do. They do it in relationships. They do it in marriages. They do it in social conduct. They do it in sexual conduct. They do it in financial dealings. They do it with money. They do it with sports and other activities. Listen, anything you put first before God becomes your little g God. Christians do it all of the time. Listen, they walk in the flesh and try to produce their own joy in life. They think these things are going to give them what they're looking for. They think that it's going to give them the satisfaction that they want. They think it's going to give them joy in their life. They're trying to produce their own joy in life through the things of this world and of the things of this world. Listen, I am not of this world. I'm not. I'm in it, but I'm not to be a part of it. Isn't that what Scripture says? Okay, so my things should not be focused here on this world and what this world can produce for me. My vision should be focused in the confidence of God's Word and what God's Word says He has promised to me and what He's going to give me, right? And it's eternal, right? Watch. But we get focused in this world and the things of this world and things of this world, which according to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, says this: do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, I want to stop, but I put that verse there because it's the verse that came to my mind when I was doing this. Is I want to stop and ask you this: does this sound like it will produce joy? Does that sound like it? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Does that sound like it's going to produce joy? If it is, it's only going to be temporary, right? Right? So then look, watch verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, does that sound like joy? Yeah, right? For where your treasure is, don't forget, this is spiritual. This is spiritual. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is your heart in love with God? Is your soul in love with God? Is God your real, true treasure? I don't know about you. He changed my life. He changed my destiny. And he gave me joy. Is God your true treasure? You want joy. We established that at the beginning of this. We all want that. You see, when your heart is set on the spiritual things of God, there is an internal reaction of the heart. Did you see that? I kind of brought that back a little bit. That was a little bit slick, right? When your heart is set on the spiritual things, the eternal things of God, there is an internal reaction of the heart, which is good and positive, and in return produces joy. It produces joy. And where's the joy produced at? Inside. In me. Not around me. In me. But unfortunately, most people's minds and hearts are focused on the things of this world, making them their God, little g. Constantly thinking, I'm going to find joy in this or that. I'm going to find fulfillment somewhere other than God. They're just boom, 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 bouncing around. And they're out there just going from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. Looking for joy and fulfillment in their life. Thinking, I'm going to get away from God because the real joy and the real excitement and the real happiness is not in here with God's people. Like this side. There's something better than this, they think. It's out there in the highways and the byways where people are just living it up. And that's what he's saying. He's saying what you need to do is look at this in your own life. That's what he's saying here. You need to look at this in your own life. Why? Because it's because if you're living this way apart from the Lord, if you're living this way apart from the Lord, you're chasing after the little g's. You've abandoned the big g for the little g. Look what Psalm 16:4 says. Their sorrows shall be multiplied. Young people, do you hear that? More importantly, older Christians, do you hear that? What is this saying? He's saying there's no joy there. There's no joy in that. Amen. There's no happiness in that at all. Of which the world offers. Why? Because it won't last. It won't hold up. It's not going to make it through. It's not going to sustain you. It's never going to give you what you think it's going to give you. That's what sin does. Isn't a sin a deceiver? Of course, Satan's a deceiver, right? But sin deceives us to think, well, this is going to give me exactly what I'm looking for, until after you've experienced, you figured, that is not exactly what I wanted. It won't hold up. It won't last. The word says it will be destroyed. Do you know what Job chapter 20, verse 5 says? That the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Do you know what that is saying? It's saying the joy of godless, the joy of the godless is momentary. The joy of the godless is momentary. What's that mean? It means this: until you put your confidence, until you put your faith, until you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you will never know joy. Amen. How else can I go out there, run up and down the highways and the byways, and deal with all that I deal with and still have joy in my life? Because you have Christ in your life, and this is not your home. Right? Now let me give you the second thing. Listen, when you put your confidence in the Lord, it is permanent joy. It's not temporary, right? Now let me give you the second thing. So let's go back and all I've gotten through is two verses so far in Psalm 16. So let's go back, right? Psalm 16 and verse 3. Now listen, this is point number two. Come back next week and I'll give it to you. That's just so wrong, isn't it? Why am I stopping here? Two reasons. I'd have you here for over an hour to finish this. There's just too much. But at the beginning of this, I said point number one is the most important thing out of this whole sermon. And why did I say that? Because if you don't know Christ, you don't have Christ, you will never know joy. And anything past this, if you don't have Christ, is just a clanging cymbal. I want you to understand. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will never have what your soul is longing for. Only He can produce in you the joy that He knows that you're looking for. The problem is you're looking in all the wrong places. That's what He's trying to tell us. He's saying, come after me. Look to me. I'm going to produce in you something that this world cannot take away, no matter what you go through. He says, but you got to have me. And you know something? Over the last 6 months or so, I've probably talked to more Christians who have doubted their salvation than I have, it seems like, in a couple of years. I asked you some questions. Do you believe in a creator God? Do you believe we're not an accident? Do you believe that God has a requirement for us to not sin? Do you believe that you have sinned? Do you believe that everyone has sinned? I do too. I'm the chief of that sinner, unfortunately. Do you believe that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you? Amen. For the forgiveness of your sins? Not that you deserve, but that He loved you and He forgave you for those sins. Do you believe that? Yes. So you're telling me you believe in a creator God, a holy God, who you have sinned against, who said, even though you've sinned, I love you so much that I'm going to send my only begotten son to die on a cross for you, to forgive you of your sins, that if you believe that what he did on the cross, that he took the suffering that you should have taken, what should have been you, that he took the punishment and the pain of the cross, and he died on the cross. Do you all believe that? Who believes that? Okay, I believe that too. So he died on the cross, and on the third day he arose again. You believe that? That's hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? I believe it. You know why I believe it? Because I think God has the power over life and death. I sure hope he does. So I believe those things, right? You believe those things. Just hold up your hand. Praise God. Then why are you doubting your salvation? God says if you believe these things, you are saved. You understand what that means? That means that you no longer have to stand a punishment for your own sin, that Christ took that punishment upon himself, that you don't have to, and now that when you die, even though you die, you will live, you will spend eternity with him. Look at all the smiles on the faces now. You see how he produces joy? When I know my confidence is in the Lord, I know that I am saved. I'm not saying life is always beautiful, but in the midst of the ugliness, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of the failed marriages, in the midst of whatever you want to put out there, I can have joy because it's only going to be temporary in this world and I no longer belong to this world. And listen, I believe and trust in God as my personal Lord and Savior. And he says that if I profess him with my mouth that he is Lord, he says, I am saved. And I put my confidence in that. I have to have this. I can't go further in this sermon. I can't go on because I have to give you this opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I just gave you the gospel. I'm a sinner who's condemned to an eternal hell. But by the grace of God, unmerited favor, I can't earn it, I can't buy it. Amen. But yet God gave me eternal life. That makes me able to endure whatever the outside circumstances is with joy in my heart. Do you know him today? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever invited him into your heart? Have you ever asked him to forgive you of your sins? If you've never done that, today is a day not only of eternal life. Listen, eternal life is just a byproduct. Eternal life is a byproduct. The real joy is that I have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with God. Get this. It's not that I know him. It's that he knows me. He knows me. He knows what I've done. He knows where I've been. He knows what I've said. He knows it. He's been in those places when I was there. And he says, I love you. And I'll forgive you. You come to me. And I'll give you what the world can't. Father God, continue your work. Move with your spirit, Lord. Move mightily in your spirit. If there's any in this place that don't know you as their personal Lord, say, do not let them leave this place without inviting you into their hearts and asking you for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, do what only you can do through your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Will you all please stand with us? Time I tried to make it on my own. Every time I tried to stand, start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I could see it now. There was Jesus in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay, I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus on the mountains and the valleys.
Jesus.
In the shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire, in the flood,
there was Jesus.
Always is and always was. No, I never walk alone. You are always. Searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
There was Jesus. Amen. And there was Jesus. And there was joy. Amen. Amen. Karen, will you please come? I want to ask